Now you can feel like you're in the audience at the Ed Sullivan Theater with official Late Show with Stephen Colbert merchandise at ParamountShop.com. Shop t-shirts, mugs, accessories, and more. And Late Show Poncho listeners can take 20% off with code TLS20. That's 20% off at checkout on all Late Show products with code TLS20 at ParamountShop.com.
Please have a seat, everybody. Thank you very much. Very kind. Welcome one, welcome all to The Late Show. I'm your host, Stephen Colbert. Now, lovely to be in here with all of these beautiful people here this evening. You out there, I've never met most of you out watching the show out in TV land, but I'm guessing, like me, you're still trying to process yesterday's mass shooting in Uvalde, Texas. If you're heartbroken and if you're frustrated, you're not alone. Americans have witnessed gun tragedy after gun tragedy. And while it can be argued that there are many reasons, we all know the biggest reason for the tragedy is the gun. And right now, the United States has approximately 400 million firearms, which is more than 40% of the total guns in the entire world. That stat's even more harrowing considering that we have 100% of the world's Floridas. Now, there's a simple, if extremely difficult solution: reduce the number of guns. We've done it before, and it worked. And Joe Biden knows that.
When we passed the assault weapons ban, mass shootings went down. When the law expired, mass shootings tripled.
That's not complicated. If there's less of something that is built to kill people, fewer people will be killed with that thing. That's why these days you see so few mass catapult attacks. Now, there are things Congress could do right now. Congress just refuses to do them. For instance, the Senate could pass H.R. 8, a bill that was passed by the House over a year ago, which would close loopholes in the background checks law. It's being held up by Senate Republicans, possibly, because background checks are supported by only 90% of voters. 90%. The only thing more popular than background checks is Dolly Parton riding a giant corgi bringing you free ice cream. And birthday sex with free ice cream. One man's frustration erupted on camera earlier today. Texas Governor Greg Abbott and his lieutenant governor held a press conference to discuss the shooting. About 15 minutes in, they were interrupted by Abbott's gubernatorial rival, Beto O'Rourke.
At this time, I will pass the mic to Lieutenant Governor Dan Patrick.
Governor Abbott,
excuse me. Excuse me.
Sit down.
You're out of line and an embarrassment.
Sit down and don't play this stuff.
The next shooting is right now, and you are doing nothing.
That's not true, Beto. They're not doing nothing. They're yelling at you for pointing out that they're doing nothing. Now, some people, you maybe, you might call this a stunt, but all he's doing is calling bullshit on their lie. The lie that they will do anything that might upset the gun lobby that lines their pockets. Another liar on that stage getting yelled at by Beto was Texas Attorney General Ken Paxton. He went on the Fox News last night and pinched out this gem.
We can't stop bad people from doing bad things. They're going to violate murder laws. They're not going to follow gun laws. I've never understood that argument.
I got to say, laws are pointless is a bold position for the Attorney General. I think he just announced the purge, but perhaps. But perhaps the nothingness nothing that was ever nothinged came from Georgia Congresswoman Marjorie Taylor Greene, seen here with her loved one and her husband. Shortly after the shooting, Green tweeted, "Our nation needs to take a serious look at the state of mental health today." I agree, starting with Georgia's 14th district. Now, it's not fair to say Republicans have absolutely no solutions. They actually have some pretty bad solutions, like this one.
One of the things you've talked about is arming teachers. Is that a possibility in Texas?
I absolutely think it's a possibility. I think that's something that should be done.
Come on. A teacher's job is not to use a gun. A teacher's job is to teach and to rap about Shakespeare. I'm Mr. Smith, and I'm here to say Caesar got stabbed. Et tu, Brute? It's not just the teachers who these cowardly dipsticks think should be armed.
These are individuals who are unpaid volunteers who would be happy to volunteer their time to go safeguard schools.
To me, it's a simple solution. We have retired military, retired law enforcement, that I am sure we can come up with a way to ensure that every child in every school is protected with on-site armed trained officers.
There is no reason why we can't put retired police officers, ex-military, and put them at least in every school.
Yes, that is their brilliant answer to our epidemic of gun violence. Arm the seniors. They shouldn't be hard to find. They're all members of the AAR-15. But more guns aren't the only terrible solutions Republicans are offering up. Here's former NYPD Detective Pat Brosnan on Hannity last night.
We need to install man traps, a series of interlocking doors at the school entrance that are triggered by a tripwire. The tripwire can be a gunshot, broken glass, a manual switch tossed by a school employee, and it traps the shooter like a rat. It's tripwires, it's man traps.
Yes. It's tripwires, it's man traps. It's stairs covered in tiny toy cars. It's crushed up Christmas ornaments on the floor. It's hot irons on pulleys that swing and hit the bad guys in the face. It's cardboard cutouts dancing in front of the windows. I saw it all in that documentary with Joe Pesci. Of course, if our elected leaders won't do anything about gun violence, we're obviously going to need to elect new leaders. And that process is already underway with the midterm primaries. Last night, there were some big results, including Georgia Democrats making their pick for governor, Stacey Abrams. Abrams. Yeah. Abrams. Of course, is famous for her years of grassroots organizing in Georgia, around the country, and most recently in the United Federation of Planets. She's fighting for voting rights for everyone, no matter how many forehead bulges your skull has. Last night wasn't just... Sure, we got some Ferengi fans around here. Last night wasn't just about winners. It was really about rubbing it in the face of one giant loser, former President The Wrath of Khan. Because in the GOP primary, he went all in on former Senator David Perdue. Despite a full-jowled endorsement from the ex-prez, Perdue got his ass handed to him by incumbent governor and beef jerky on Zoloft, Brian Kemp. And it wasn't even close. Kemp peach-stomped Perdue by over 50 points. This, sure. This was a total embarrassment for the ex-prez, even more so because the candidate who destroyed his guy was Mike Pence's pick. Oh, you know Pence celebrated with his trademark victory dance. Avert your eyes, mother. I am clenching to the rhythm. But that wasn't the end of his losing, because the ex-prez picked losers up and down the ballot. For example, the former prez picked a candidate to take down his old nemesis, Georgia Secretary of State Brad Raffensperger, seen here being less interesting than an out-of-focus bell. Raffensperger famously pushed back when the dingus-in-chief called him during the 2020 election, demanding he find enough votes to overturn his loss in Georgia. Well, last night, Raffensperger absolutely creamed the ex-president's guy, beating him by 20 points. Good news, Mr. President. Good news, he finally found those votes. Now, the ex-prez didn't lay a total goose egg last night. He got one win in the Georgia Senate primary thanks to candidate Herschel Walker. Walker has to tread a fine line between holding on to the ex-president's endorsement and not getting any of the stop the steal crazy on him, as you can see in this interview.
One of the things that certainly motivated President Trump in giving endorsements to various candidates has been whether or not they accept his claim that the election was stolen. Do you think the election was stolen?
Well, I don't think, I think reporters say that. I don't know whether President Trump said, because he never said that to me. I'm not arguing with you.
He says it over and over again, please.
No. I've never heard President Trump ever say that.
Now, technically, come on, technically, he's right. I've never heard him say it. I've only heard him scream it, tweet it, and one time fart it in Morse code. We got a great show for you tonight.
Coming up, Michael Che.
Enjoying this episode of the Late Show Pod Show? Then head to cohst.app/lateshow or visit the link in the description to fill out our quick 2-minute survey all about getting to know you.
Rise and shine, football fans. Start your day the right way with Morning Footy, a podcast that covers every aspect of the global game, headlines, match previews, analysis, interviews, culture, fashion, and plenty of banter. Join as we track the thrills and spills of Europe's biggest title races, the business end of the Champions League season, a summer packed with international competitions, MLS, NWSL, and much more. Subscribe to Morning Footy.
My first guest this evening is a stand-up comedian you know as the co-host of Weekend Update on Saturday Night Live. He created and stars in the sketch comedy series That Damn Michael Che, which returns tomorrow for its second season. Please welcome to The Late Show, That Damn Michael Che. Hey.
Do you tell them to get that excited?
Yeah. Nice to have you on.
Oh, it's great to be here. Thank you so much.
First time I've ever had a chance to sit down with you, but not your first time in this theater. I understand you made your television debut on this stage. Is that true?
That's right. I did stand-up on Letterman in 2012. Yeah.
Wow. That's a big 10 years. Now, so tell me about that, because I remember the first time I got a call to be on Dave.
I remember it was during Hurricane Sandy.
And Okay, yeah.
I had no power. I was living in Jersey City. I had no power, no electricity, no anything. And I didn't know I was supposed to do it, but they called my best friend, who lived like 30 minutes away, because he had a phone. And he drove to my house, knocked on my window, and was like, they want you to do Letterman tomorrow. And I was like, this isn't funny. But
they knew to call your best friend.
They knew to call him because my manager was like, they were just trying to find somebody in Jersey City that that could find me.
Okay.
And I went and stayed in a hotel, and I didn't have any clothes or anything.
I mean, it was not easy to get around. People forget, like, it was not easy to get in and out of the city or anything.
We had to drive. We had to, like, pick up a hitchhiker because it was like...
Oh, because it was only high occupancy to go
exactly.
into the city.
Exactly. It was me and my boy. So we're like driving around, like, anybody want to drive into the city with us? And some guy was
hey, ladies.
With, yeah. Some guy was with like a kid. He's like, I'll get in. And I was like, you should not do that. He's like, got in with like a 6-year-old and we just drove to the city. We went to Saks. I got a blazer.
Mm-hmm. Well, I got the photo.
Yeah.
I got the photo. So this you did not bring this from home? You had to buy this?
No, that was about 40 pounds ago.
Which way?
That way. No, I remember I went to Saks and I was like, I'm going on Letterman and I'd like to look great. And she gave me this $3,000 Gucci jacket. And so we walked across the street to H&M. And I got that blazer. In fact, that pocket square is probably the receipt. It's like... $150. Thanks, H&M.
There you go. I do want to, you look really good. I want to point out that your first instinct was, I'm going on Dave, I want to look really good.
Eh.
Thanks for dressing up. I'm not sure what You just feel so relaxed now. Is that why you're wearing the hoodie?
I don't know why I'm wearing maternity clothes, but I mean, I don't know. This is great. This is awesome, man. This is like where the Beatles play.
Yeah, isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah, this is insane. Yeah.
Now, like me, if you're from a pretty big family, how many kids?
I'm the youngest of seven.
All right, being the youngest is great of a big family.
Yeah,
isn't
my parents did not have cable.
Are you now of being one of a lot of kids? What are you the funniest one in your family?
No.
According to you or them?
Both. No. I feel like the funniest ones are never the ones that end up being comedians. It's always like the third or fourth ones that are really trying to overachieve. The funny ones, they're very confident and beautiful. I think the funniest people in my family was my grandfather and my grandmother, who they were the funniest. My grandfather was a pastor, and so he knew how to hold court. He was funny on purpose. My grandmother wasn't funny on purpose. She just couldn't help it. Just couldn't help it.
No filter.
And she would exaggerate. She would exaggerate anything, anybody. He was 9 feet tall. You know, he wasn't 9 feet. He was 2,000 pounds. And she would say it like, why could you call me a liar? She was the best.
We have to take a little bit of a break, but when we come back, I'll ask Michael how he feels about talking about the news every week.
The Hargan women seemed to have it all.
We were blessed. My mom was amazing.
But detectives would soon discover...
Inside the house, there were the bodies of two women.
A story of betrayal you would struggle to believe if it wasn't true.
I am just praying to God. This is a sick joke.
From 48 Hours, this is Blood is Thicker, The Hargan Family Killings. Listen to Blood is Thicker, The Hargan Family Killings early and ad-free starting May 1st with a 48 Hours Plus subscription on Apple Podcasts.
Jon Stewart is back in the host chair at The Daily Show, which means he's also back in our ears on The Daily Show Ears Edition podcast. The Daily Show podcast has everything you need to stay on top of today's news and pop culture. You get hilarious, satirical takes on entertainment, politics, sports, and more from Jon and the team of correspondents and contributors. The podcast also has content you can't get anywhere else, like extended interviews and a roundup of the weekly headlines. Listen to The Daily Show, Ears Edition, wherever you get your podcasts.
I found out something today that I did not, I don't know how this escaped me, but you, along with Colin, you two are the longest weekend update anchors of all time in history. What is it, 7 years? Eight, what is it?
Something like that, yeah.
Something like that?
Thank you. I don't know why.
It's a good gig. Do you enjoy the news? Like, are you a junkie?
No. What you just did was terrifying.
Well, not every night is about subjects like this. You know what I mean? This is a little tougher.
They're getting a little bit closer and closer.
That's true. So, but you don't follow the news?
I don't like the news. I do it for work.
So you're willing to be the host of Weekend Update, you're just not into it.
I like the joke parts. I like the joke math. I like, you know, that's why I always laugh because, like, kids will come up to me and they're like, man, I get all my news from you. And I'm like, well, you don't know news. Because that is not what I'm doing, man. Yeah.
Wow.
Do you like it? Do you like doing the news?
I've always liked the news. I don't want it to be this dark. You know, I'm doing it for the jokes, too. I'm here for the math. I like the construction of the joke, and when it works, that feels good, and they make that noise with their mouth, and you know that you did your job well. That's what I like about comedy. You know when it works.
Yeah, but you also, you find out it didn't work at the same time they do.
True. It's a series of bets you lay down in the rewrite room.
Yeah, it's so funny. People are like, why'd you say that? Like, I don't know. It was funny in the room.
Exactly. Yeah, I'll bet how I feel tomorrow on this joke, because you if it doesn't work, you keep that with you until your next chance to go out there and do it again.
And I do it with somebody else, so it's so crazy, because if you bomb and then the camera cuts away from you, And then he kills, and then it comes back to you, and everybody's like, oh. I'm in a hole. It's rough, man. It's a rough gig, and it is not smart.
Wait. Well, so now you've got your own second season of your own sketch comedy show, That Damn Michael Che. Yeah. I do want to point out that you work on a sketch comedy show, maybe the sketch comedy show, and this is your side project. So this it's a kind of a busman's holiday. Why do more sketch? Because you can do sketch.
Yeah, but this one's for black people. So... a little different.
All right. So officially, SNL is for white people, is what you're saying.
I'm just saying, you know. No, it's fun. It's SNL's a variety show, and there's so many different voices. But no, this show, you can kind of lock in and be a little bit more nuanced, and that's always fun to get to do. And we can curse.
Oh, wow.
On HBO, we can say all of the foul language.
Good for you. Good for you if you like that kind of stuff.
If you like that sort of thing.
Yeah. We have a clip here. Can you tell us what's happening in this clip?
Oh, yes. This clip is... I hope you guys like it. It's,
Now you can say that before everything you ever do. I've got another joke. I hope you like it.
No, this clip, I really hope you like it. I'm getting an intervention. I'm asking my ex-girlfriends to give me an intervention to find out what's wrong with me.
And here we go.
You could have told me you had a girlfriend.
That's all right. All right. Now, what do you think you could have done differently?
What you just say to me?
Be honest.
You know, when we broke up, he tried to date my sister.
No.
Well, I didn't know.
Yes, you did. Don't lie.
You didn't let me finish. I didn't know that mattered.
Huh. You're disgusting.
He dumped me on Juneteenth.
Really? I didn't even know that was a holiday until last year.
Shame on you.
Okay. I got one. You always on everything I like.
Yes.
No, I don't.
Yes, you do. I hated telling you about anything I like because you make me feel dumb for liking it.
But don't you think if something you like is objectively bad, I should make you feel a little dumb so you don't like it anymore?
But it's not objectively bad if I think it's good.
Right. Oh, what the f you know? You like K-pop.
And? So you're doing it again.
She calls Harry Styles R&B. That's wrong.
Thanks for being here, man. That's a lot of fun. Season 2 of That Damn Michael Che premieres tomorrow on HBO Max. Michael Che, everybody.
This has been The Late Show Pod Show with Stephen Colbert. If you're enjoying The Late Show Pod Show, leave us a 5-star review on Spotify or Apple Podcasts. Watch The Late Show with Stephen Colbert weeknights at 11:35, 10:35 Central on CBS and Paramount Plus. And for more exclusive Late Show content, follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, and subscribe to The Late Show on YouTube.
Calling all benders and non-benders alike. Jump into the epic world of Avatar with your favorite podcast, Avatar Braving the Elements. Hosted by me, Janet Varney.
And me, Dante Bosco. Each week we'll recap and discuss a new episode.
So come join us and our amazing guests from creators to cast to superfans to chat about all things Avatarverse.
It's Fire Nation time. Book of Fire. Let's go. Listen to Avatar Braving the Elements
wherever you get your podcasts.